All right, guys. So I've got Dan, Greg, and Brett on the phone. Anybody I'm missing? All right, so here in the room, we've got myself, Andy, and then Chad and Doug from the core here. I know Ryan's out today at a meeting in Salem, so it might just be a short meeting here with a couple of updates. But I did get a few revisions on the March minutes from Ryan, so without any other edits, we'll go ahead and approve those. And then, Dan, probably of interest to you, the Willamette Hatchery Broodstock Pond, that action item's been sitting on there. So, like we said last meeting, we've got $500,000 in the 2020 budget allocated. That'll probably get us part of the way through some design, plans, and specs, and maybe even start in on purchasing some materials, but nothing new there. Hey, did somebody just join in?
Yeah, Kurt did.
Hey, Kurt.
Hey, guys.
So, yeah, Dan, that's kind of where that one sits for now. I know Ryan mentioned last time that we should probably revisit the last set of plans we had. It had a real big pond in there, and Ryan was thinking we may want to kind of revise that based on things we've learned at Minto and Foster.
Correct.
Okay. So that's that. The Lieberg property transfer, the real estate office is still moving ahead with that thing. I believe they sent out one of the, I don't know if it's an archaeologist or someone of that nature, but to do a couple environmental and cultural reviews out there at Lieberg recently. So I believe Eric and Ryan were notified of that. And then the next one on here is the Minto and the Foster truck ownership transfer. So Chris and I, when we were down in the valley last week, brought the GSA plates out. And so we could swap those on to the trucks. Brett, did you end up taking off the state plates and putting on those GSA ones?
Yeah, Kenny did it yesterday.
Cool.
Yeah,
and is there
all good to go.
Great. And is there anything else you guys need?
The only thing we were talking about is if there was any specific record or log book that you guys require on a federal level, if you guys had those books, if you could ship them out to us so we make sure we're filling out the proper paperwork.
Yeah, I ask about that because we have a little log sheet that sits in all of our rigs.
Yeah.
Where we fill out the mileage and the date and the trip and everything. But from what I understand, we have to fill those out for vehicles that are part of a pool of vehicles that will get recalled at some point and replaced with other ones. So they're kind of on lease to the... So, like, I did this when I worked out at one of the project dams, and they were kind of, like, on lease to that dam. And then after a couple years, when it gets older, it gets replaced with a newer truck. But in this case, those vehicles are kind of one-off trucks. They're not planned to get, you know, like, replaced in 5 years or whatever. So, from what I heard, there isn't an official form that keeps track of mileage and trips and stuff like that.
We have, like I think we were telling, we have mileage books in those vehicles.
Uh-huh.
So we could just continue doing that, filling out that mileage book, and it gives basically the driver, the mileage, the where your starting point, you know, where you traveled to, and then, you know, the cost code associated with the trip.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think if you guys keep using the
requirements, we could just continue filling that out. I mean, we obviously don't need to send that in to our agency anymore, since we don't, you know, we're not taking responsibility for the truck. But then that would at least provide her. Would that suffice for your records?
Totally. Yep. I think that'd be perfect. So if you guys just keep filling out what you've already got. Yeah, that's perfect.
Brian and Jerry Cotter are also working on a daily pre-trip inspection form. There's a couple little books that we've looked at that we will continue to do mileage logs and a pre-trip inspection sheet and just keep it on file.
Cool. That sounds
good.
Great. So yeah, that action item is pretty much done, so we can take that off for next time. And then the other one we had on here was regarding genetic clips taking at the different traps. And it was talked briefly about at the Willamette F-Palm last month. And I think everyone kind of gave support and agreed that this was important information to take. The question now is, can we get funding for it? And then how do we do that? And it sounds like the best way to do that is to maybe use an existing agreement or contract with Catherine O'Malley's lab and work directly with her. But I know my folks back in operations don't have any agreement with Catherine right now. I think Rich, Piaskowski, and Fenton and those guys may have something on the research side of the house. So you need to check back with them. And then the last action item we had on here was for trout production for the I was gonna email Brett the website with the stocking schedule. Brett, did you get that? I sent it a couple weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Cool. Does anybody else need that? Nope. Okay. Cool. All right. Well, with that, we'll move on to updates. Greg, Marion Forks, and Mentos, first up.
All right. Everything is going well at Marion Forks. Like the other Willamette hatcheries, we had our environmental visit last week with a list of some stuff. The main one up there was the asbestos in the piping. They took another sample of the pipe up towards the intake. The original report we got back, there was just asbestos in the coating of the intake pipe that went to the raceways. But when that report comes out, I guess we'll look at it. And one question I guess probably we all have is once the inspections reports come out, will there be follow-up money to help address some of those issues? As far as Marion Forks, everything's going well. We've ponded all the Chinook, a little behind, a little cold water this year, but health-wise, they're doing well. Minto's going well. Winter steelhead are starting to come in pretty steadily. We've seen 81 here at Minto, 232 over Bennett. Bennett's seen 5 summer steelhead, and we've seen 1 here. So starting to see some collection. The one caveat with the winter steelhead is this year, with us not doing any sampling, we haven't been ploy tagging. Looking at over the last few years, we have about a 9.8% fallback rate when we did that. So that 81 may be a little bit higher than what is the actual return. But fish are looking good. They're looking, bellies are pretty full, and looks like down at pack saddle, we're seeing a little bit of red development. So spawning's well underway.
Cool.
That's all I got for us.
Sounds good. And I'll just speak to the environmental and safety inspections, and then some of the remediation that might be coming in terms of funding. So, and I think I mentioned this to all of you guys when I was down there for the inspections, and maybe Chris said something similar to you as well, Greg, but it's a requirement in the contract now that ODFW follows the regulations for environmental and safety stuff that are in the engineering manual. And it's number 385, EM385. So that's in there. It has to be in all of the contracts that the Corps awards. So you guys are stuck with that. But if there are large costs for buying new grading to expand the width of raceways, or for removing asbestos and replacing a pipe, or buying a large quantity of signs, you know, things that are tens of thousands of dollars, that's not really something that was included in the bid. So the money isn't currently there. So in my interpretation of the contract, I wouldn't expect for ODFW to go and spend that money on their own accord. So I would think that for any of these large ticket items that the Corps would need to provide funding, especially because we own these facilities in a lot of cases, to help ODFW accomplish those upgrades. So that's something that the contract officer for this contract, myself, and some other folks from the safety office will kind of have to negotiate on. How do we go about this? Is this a contract mod in future years? Or is this maybe a separate contract that the Corps wants to hire someone to come out and do these repairs? Maybe we'd handle it that way. But I wanted to make it clear in the inspections that the environmental and the safety folks that were there, they can't direct any of you hatchery managers to do work. They can't tell you to do something because they don't have the authority to do that. Only the contract officer can tell you to do something that directs work. So while they can provide us input on regulations and how to follow them, and we need to follow up on all those things, it's not any immediate action that I think any of you guys need to take right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so Andy, what is the time frame that we have, you know, if we have some of these bigger projects? Is there going to be a year or 5 years? Or?
Well, I think we'd want to tackle them as quickly as possible, especially if they're potential OSHA violations. I haven't seen the report yet from the safety and environmental folks. So as soon as I get the report and we get a sense of how many projects we're talking about and maybe a sense of the cost associated with them, then we can start laying out a plan. But it probably wouldn't happen any sooner than the option year for the Willamette Valley contract, which would get awarded in September 1st. So what we'd probably do is modify that option year and include any extra work in it along with extra funding. But yeah, that wouldn't 19. That wouldn't come in. Well, no, September this fall, September 2018.
Oh, of 18.
Yeah, it'd run through 19. But that'd probably be the soonest. Cool. All right. Thanks, Greg. We'll move along to South San Diego and Foster.
Things are going well here. Same thing. We had the environmental safety inspection. We've been taking care of a lot of the smaller issues, you know, with just some guarding upgrades and, you know, things like that. And we've been taking on some of the GHS secondary labeling requirements. It's been kind of interesting. Kenny's been calling around, and those manufacturers don't have those labels. And a lot of them, what they won't even send them to you because they don't want to be liable.
Which labels?
So we're having to go through another company to create them.
Hey, Brett, which label are you talking about?
Oh, the secondary labels on all the, I guess, just writing on it in a Sharpie marker isn't acceptable anymore, or using the little stickers and writing the numbers on there. They have to be your guys said there has to be a special label that follows the new GHS system.
Oh.
And they said we had to call the manufacturers to get them. Well, we're calling the manufacturers, and they're treating us like we're idiots, you know? They don't even know what we're talking about.
Hey, Brett, this is Doug. Hey, Brett, we've been going through some of that, too. They call them SDSs nowadays instead of an MSDS.
Well, we got SDS. This is a secondary label.
Yeah, but I'm going through the same thing. We're having to make our own labels.
Oh, you are? Okay.
We were able to go to Granger.
There's a company, yeah. The Granger... kind of authorizes called GAMUT, uh-huh. and you can find the FPA labels for alcohol or whatever you need. They're small. They come on a roll.
Yeah.
And they.
That's kind of what we have for, like, we just started down the road, and they're really simple printout labels on a roll is what that. But we have a template. We were kind of instructed to kind of, you know, make it as you fake it or whatever here, but not that that's legally binding, but anyway, if I find anything out, I'll let you know, anything I can.
Well, that'd be great. Yeah, yeah. I found a company, Avery, I guess, that you can, you know, we got like a couple of the real basic ones, like Simple Green and like Bleach.
Yeah, those are
but
out
it's like, they're specific, you know, so, you know, for other, you know, like for like some of the herbicides or whatever, you know, like Roundup or whatever, you know, you like
kind of power, like we have like a sprayer for Ovidyne, you know, Argentine for disinfecting ponds, you know, or disinfection barrels. You know, they're just like called Western Chemical, and they don't have anything. And so, yeah. So I guess I appreciate that. If any help we get, and we'll check out that Gamut company or whatever. But yeah, so we're just kind of wading through that. But yeah, appreciate any help we can get there.
Andy, one of the things they were talking to us here at Minto was like every little, individual vial for a genetic sample. If we're doing, you know, individual females, that they want those also labeled.
What?
It's hard to get a label on those little itty bitty tubes.
Wait a second here.
That's not gonna happen. That's crazy talk. It seems like you put all those labels in the rack and then you just label the rack.
Yeah, you get carpal tunnel, put the label on there.
Well, if one of those was to fall on the ground or get underneath something and somebody picked it up and didn't know what was in it.
Wow. Yeah. Man. Gotta love safety, guys.
Yeah.
You know, I was very impressed with a core safety officer. I thought he was professional and very common sense. So.
Was that Josh?
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh is super good. He's been really helpful. I like his approach to stuff. All right. I'll circle back with Ken and with Jessica and see if they've got ideas for making labels or finding labels for particular things like that. So I know they deal with that at the dams sometimes. We've got weird chemicals that aren't...
Yeah, any resources we could get, some contact, that would be great. Because we're more than willing to comply. It's just so like I said, we're heading down the road. We're getting... We got a lot of little stuff done already. And we got the list. So we're going to hit... We're just going to go ahead and take care of that stuff. Some of that stuff, I think, is, you know... Now the new requirement, you have to have, say, a guard on a drill press. You know, we didn't know that. So
right.
And so that's just within the last couple of years since our last inspection. So stuff like that we're taking care of, but on the bigger items we'll go ahead and wait for you know, like everybody else is. We're running the traps, and we've only got 14 winners so far. They've all been hauled up to Riverbend. We did get one summer steelhead, and then if anybody gets any summer steelhead in their traps, if they could hang on to them, I guess Fenton would like to use them for their study that they have for the the bypass, you know, juvenile or adult bypass on Foster. So I know I talked to Tyler over at Minto, and Greg and he are going to save the one that they have over there, and we're going to save the one we have here so far. But anyway. We released all our summer steelhead juveniles. We're kind of wrapped that up. We just got to they run out really well. We don't have very many residuals left, but we're going to get rid of those residuals this week. And then we're cleaning up ponds, and we're pond and fry next week. And that's about it.
Where do you usually take those residual summer steelhead, Brett?
Out of the North San Diego. No, just joking. We take them up to a Sunnyside pond.
Okay. That's what I thought.
And I think we are taking ours to Walling in Salem.
Nice. Cool. All right. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
All right. Moving along to McKenzie. Kurt, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Well, like as we mentioned, we had our inspection also, and I think things went well. And same thing, the secondary labeling is going to be a problem for us also. So whatever help we can get from you guys would be very appreciated. I thought the inspection went well. We didn't have a lot of items, but I'm sure we'll see the report, and there'll be some things we need to take care of, and we've already done a few things. But that's enough said about that. So since the last time I guess we talked, we had our last release of smolt here. Everything went out well. We coincided it with a increase in river flows from the Lieber Canal because EWEB was doing a large repair on the canal wall, so they lowered all the water level down to a minimum, and then they put all that water back in the river right where we released. So that was a good thing. Those fish got a good push, and then everything, the river's all been rising since then. So. No real real thoughts about or seeing a lot of birds on those fish because they got out of here so quickly. So that was kind of nice. The predation was probably at a minimum with all the increased flows. Our fish on hand, the fry, have been doing real well. Our pathologist here just last week, they're very healthy. She did find one plate that she did that had a little bit of cold water disease, but nothing, mortality is fine, so we're not seeing any increase or anything like that. We'll just be aware of that, see if we have any increases, but hopefully that doesn't take off or anything. But it was on one fish out of 20, so you know, you never know. We're getting the trap ready because we're going to open up May 1st, and so we're just doing some cleanup down there and repairing a couple of doors that we have for separating fish and the different end Willamette stock. When we bring those in and things like that, we had a couple hinges that were compromised, so we're repairing that. Just getting the pressure washing and things like that. We've been pressure washing ponds, getting all that ready, cleaned up too, since we've got all the releases are done. Just regular maintenance pretty much for the rest of the things that we've been doing. So that's about all I got.
Cool. Thank you, sir. All right. The cougar trap. Chad.
Cougar. Let's see. So far we've captured one adult bull trout this season. We had to shut the facility down yet again a couple weeks ago due to an oil leak from one of the FWS pumps. So kind of taking a step back here and kind of reevaluating the pumps and trying to figure out why we keep having problems with these seals leaking. Evidently, one of the reps from the pump manufacturer is going to be coming out on site to help our guys rebuild the seals and kind of try to figure out why we keep having this problem. So yeah, stay tuned on that. I don't know exactly when we'll have the facility operating again.
So kind of until further notice?
Okay. And hopefully sooner rather than later. Another hitch with the facility is that rock slide is still currently in place. Spoke with some folks at the Forest Service, and now it's looking like best case scenario would be June, and worst case scenario would be July. So it keeps kind of getting pushed back. So really until that rock slide is cleared, we can't move adult Chinook. So it may not even be worth having the facility open at that time if we can't transport the adults.
Is there a good way to hold adults, a cougar?
No,
it's really short term.
They beat themselves up.
Yeah,
they'd be better off just kind of holding out the tail race.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at. And then, I guess Unit 2 is still out of service for that digital governor upgrade. That's supposed to be back into service May 15th, so that is all I have for cougar.
Okay. All right, Doug, update us on Fall Creek.
We're commissioning Fall Creek currently this week. We hope to water the ladder up tomorrow and
nice.
See how things go. Now, that's only commissioning watering. That's not watering and ready to go for operation. So we're testing valves. We're testing PLCs. We're in a testing phase. So news at 11, we can't give you a date on officially opening facility, but soon. Looking at the Willamette Falls passage numbers, I think we're still okay as far as Chinook go. You know, I don't know about, we haven't had much discharge coming through Fall Creek Dam, so I don't know if there's any winter steelhead in the system waiting to come into the facility or not. We'll keep our eyes out for those guys, but Jeff wants us to haul them if we can get them. So again, contingent upon opening the facility, but that's kind of where we are.
How's the commissioning been going so far? Has there been any hiccups or unexpected problems?
Some valve stuff, a little bit of valve stuff, but so far so good. Yeah.
Cool.
Normal.
Right on. All right, and then down to Willamette and Dexter. Dan.
Yeah, like everybody else, we had our inspection. I thought it went pretty well. There's, like Brett said, there's some stuff that we didn't know about that we're going to change, and we've started on some of our little stuff too, but kind of waiting to see what the big picture and what the report actually states. When we get that, and then we'll move forward from there. Fish-wise, everything's ponded. Everything's growing well. We're about 5 weeks from starting to clip, and that's another part of our yearly activity that's kind of a pain, but we're getting close to that, so we're trying to get everything set up and ready. Dexter, all the releases are done as of the 15th. He's on vacation for the next couple weeks since this is the downtime for Dexter, and this is the only time he can leave. So he's Doug's out of here and in Utah right now, but we're starting to get things cleaned up down there and disinfected and get ready for fingerlings to go down there at the end of May. And all the releases were good. Everything was on target size, and we got some good flows for most of our releases, and everything's moving forward.
Cool. Sounds good. I'm still waiting to hear back from the contract officer on how to proceed with that valve down at Dexter.
Yeah.
Adding a one in. But I will let you know as soon as I hear.
Okay. We're looking at, I think right now it's scheduled for dewater on May 7th is when the Corps is supposed to drop the bulkhead in. So we need to know and as soon as possible so we can get the contractor out there to get going.
You said May 7th?
I think that's when the water is shut off. So
okay,
we got to make sure that contractor has the valve and is ready to go, you know, a couple days after that.
Cool. I will bug her about that again today.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Greg, did Ryan give you any updates for Lieberg?
No. I'm looking through his notes. He didn't mention anything about the if that cultural environmental review had happened. I just typed him a note to see if he or Eric had seen or had that happen, but he didn't have any updates.
Okay. Yeah, I saw an email from our real estate folks saying that someone was scheduled to go out there, I think last week, maybe even the week before, but I didn't hear if it happened or not. But those are just a couple of the boxes that we got to check off as we move towards disposal. And then the other thing to do with Lieberg, I was going to let Ryan know about, I know they were trying to replace the roof on one of the buildings out there. And there's some weird language that was making the real estate office uncomfortable in the cooperative agreement, because Lieberg's still covered under an extended task order. It's not part of the contract. And I thought it'd be easy enough, because the state's going to foot the bill for the new roof, to just proceed with putting a new roof on. But for whatever reason, they didn't like it. So real estate was going to take that over and talk with Eric and Ryan about it. And I told them my concern was they'd probably like to get that roof on the summer when the weather's good, and I didn't want this to drag on until the winter and then not be able to do it. But the folks from real estate actually said, oh, well, that shouldn't be a problem. We should probably have that in place by this summer. So it sounds like the roof could still be replaced sometime in the next couple of months without too much delay. So
are they in charge of finding the contractor and being the QA, or will that fall on us?
No, I think it'll fall on ODFW.
Okay.
The Corps just has to say, yep, this is fine with us. You have approval to do it. Because we still own the property, and any altercations, or not altercations, but alterations to the facility have to go through us. Real estate has to give their blessing. So
okay,
we just got to wait for them to be okay with it. Cool. That pretty much brings us towards the end. It's a little contract status update. So for the Willamette Hatcheries, I mentioned earlier, that option year award will be September 1st, and that'll put us into the last year of the Willamette Valley contract. It was just a 2-year contract, and we've already started work to get the next one in place. Seems like they're never ending these days, but hopefully with enough of a head start for this next go-around, we can get a base year plus 4 option years and have the next contract run for a total of 5 years, which would be nice. It'd be less work for, I think, everybody involved. And then as far as the trout stocking goes, that one's awarded to Desert Springs. They're plugging away stocking trout this year, even today. But for next year, only 100,000 pounds have been awarded for the stocking that would occur over the summer of 2019. And so that's an issue we've kind of all been working on, but nothing has changed as of today. So that's where we sit. And then the monitoring... go ahead.
So are they doing the 277 this year, or was that modified?
Yes. Yeah, 277 this year, all the way to the end of 2018. This would be for next year, 2019, that there would be a shortage.
So is there any QA or anything as far as their delivery times and fish conditions or anything? Is anybody looking at their loads or dumps or?
Yeah, we are. There's been a couple folks from the Corps that have been doing that. Chris Walker is actually out today on the McKenzie doing some QA stuff. I know Doug Garlitz has been around for a couple of the different deliveries and working with those guys, and I'll actually be out next week. So yeah, we're doing some here and there. You know, there's so many deliveries, it's hard to be there for all of them, but trying to get them where we can.
Perfect.
And then the last one is the monitoring and evaluation for the Willamette. I believe yesterday we got the proposals back from a number of different contractors that want to do the work this year. We'll evaluate those proposals and then hopefully get it awarded. I think May 1st is the target date to get that thing awarded. So then they would start work this summer as our spring Chinook start coming back. And then the last thing I had on the schedule for today was the 2018 disposition spreadsheet. We usually run through that at HMT. And since Bernadette's moved on to a new position, that is now Kelly Reese. And she thought she mistake this meeting for next month. So she said, whoops, I don't quite have it ready. But she's working with staff right now. I wouldn't anticipate any changes. And I was just going to ask you guys if you're aware of any changes or anything new as far as direction on where we go with hatchery and natural origin, winter steelhead or spring Chinook.
So I know Kelly has met with the biologist, and then she had sent out a doodle poll that's going to bring the hatchery managers in hopefully next week for the discussion. So
cool. And you haven't heard about any potential changes? I'm assuming it'll be pretty similar to what we did last year.
Yeah, I haven't heard of any significant changes.
Cool.
I don't think until the HGMPs are signed that nothing's going to change.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too. Although, for the most part, we're pretty much out planting or placing these fish in exactly as the HGMPs state. All the numbers for like above Detroit into the Brighton Bush and the main stem North Santiam, like those were all in the HGMPs, so I think it's pretty
much.
Yeah,
I think the bios were looking at, you know, the red counts versus females outplanted. So
sure. Cool. Okay. So yeah, more to come on that one next month. All right, I think that's all I've got for today, unless you guys have anything else you need to talk about. Cool. All right, well, thanks for calling in, guys. Talk to you later.
right, have a good one.
See you guys.
See ya.
All right, see ya.
All right, bye-bye. Cool.